We love sustainability, and so does Macy's. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at macys.com/purpose. If you want to hear today's top authors and change makers of color in deep, honest conversation, we've got an amazing new podcast for you. It's called Well-Read Black Girl, and it's the literary kickback you never knew you needed. Author and founder of the Well-Read Black Girl Book Club, Glory Edom, sits down with your favorite writers for insightful discussions on art, culture, social justice, and the power of the written word. Luminaries like Tarana Burke, Anita Hill, Gabrielle Union, Britt Bennett, and more discuss how they found their voice, honed their skill, and composed some of the most interesting and impactful writing of the day. You'll meet Black bookstore owners, literacy advocates, and members of the Well-Read Black Girl Book Club who chat about the literary legacies of the women who paved the way. If you're a total bookworm, an aspiring writer, or just want to peek behind the page of the brightest minds around, this show is for you. Listen to Well-Read Black Girl wherever you get your podcasts, and stay tuned at the end of the episode because we're going to play a little clip from the show. Hello.
Mm-hmm. Hello. Hello. Hello.
I did a show last night and I said something about Black people experiencing this X thing more than any other race. And a Black woman in the audience went, "I know that's right." And I was like, "Oh, I know that's right. Thank you." And then kept going. And then she kept talking, like, in full sentences.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucked because I knew she was agreeing with what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to, like shut her down. But also, I wanted her to stop talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I also couldn't clearly hear everything she was saying. At one point, she said, "Joe Biden." And I was like, "How'd Joe Biden get in this? What are you talking about?" And I also was, like, at an energy level where, like, I could perform, but my brain was not firing at all cylinders. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't, like, improvise anything to make this like funny or like quippy. Mm-hmm. I was like, "I'm sorry, I'm really confused. What are you, what is this?" And she's like, and I was like, "What are you?" I was like, "How are you speaking full sentences right now? Are you responding to things that I just said?" And she's like, "Yeah." And I was like, we gotta talk after, okay? It seems like you have a lot of insight about what I'm talking about right now, but I just need to finish this thing." Mm-hmm. And then she stopped. So it, like, didn't last long. But I was just, like, so, like, taken aback. And I don't think it ruined the set because people were complimentary after. But mm-hmm. It was just a weird moment where I was like, "What is this? What is this?"
Was this out of town or in town?
It was in town.
Interesting. Maybe... I don't know. People have always been on their worst behavior every time I've ever been on stage. But people are getting more and more just doing whatever the fuck they want. T.I. was at a comedy show. Did you see this video?
No.
T.I. was at a comedy show, and apparently the comic made a joke about T.I. that he didn't like. So then he got on stage, grabbed the microphone, and started, like, screaming at her. And then they were screaming back at him. It was, like, it was kind of wild. Wait, Kimmy, look it up. I don't think I'm lying. I watched it last night, and I don't think it was a dream.
What if it was? That'd be crazy.
Imagine I'm just describing a T.I.
I saw him at a strip club in Atlanta, at Magic mm-hmm. City, and he wrapped his whole face in, like, this white gauze, I think to, like, be, like, incognito, but it drew more attention to him because we were like, "You're the invisible man. Like, you..." He looks like a mummy.
Who's this mummy? Oh, it's T.I.
Tiny was there too. So it's like, who's the mummy with Tiny? I guess it's probably T.I.
That's very funny. How wild. Yeah. I mean, don't go out, I guess, if you don't want to be recognized. Kimmy, did I make this up? Was this a dream?
The T.I. thing? No, yeah. I'm just reading about it now, trying to understand it. But oh, T.I. okay. did yell at a comic mid-show.
Damn it. People are acting the worst. Have people always been so poorly behaved, or is this like a new thing?
There have definitely been versions of people being poorly behaved at all times. I've definitely seen videos of people trying to fight comics on stage, pre-pandemic, but I really think it's like people like don't know how to act in public anymore.
Mm-hmm. Boy, oh boy.
They've just been cooped up and then they're like, I have something to say. Okay, T.I. was recorded going off on a comedian who seemingly joked about the sexual assault allegations made against the rapper and his wife, Tiny, at an Atlanta comedy show Monday night. I wonder who this comic is. Mm-hmm. As many times as you joke on that shit, nigga, I'm gonna check your motherfucking ass as long as it takes. T.I. told the comedian. So it's Lauren Knight. Oh, okay. So T.I. said that?
Mm-hmm.
When you stop playing with me and mine, I'm gonna stop saying something.
I mean,
there ain't been no motherfucking case. Ain't never been no motherfucking case. I ain't did nothing wrong, and my wife ain't did nothing wrong. And if you keep on playing with me, I'm going to continue to confront publicly, verbally.
Boy, oh boy. Okay. Wait, what night then addresses the one night only? This is an open mic.
Why was T.I. at an open mic? I guess he's a comedian now, so maybe he's trying to get some time.
Does T.I. do comedy now?
Yeah, you didn't see that? He's been doing like stand-up.
I thought it was a bit.
I've only seen one video, but so I don't know if he's doing multiple shows, but I think he was trying.
Okay.
He's trying to do stand-up.
On Tuesday night, Knight took to Instagram to address the heated incident. She said T.I. showed up towards the end of the event and delivered a 30-minute stand-up routine. 30 minutes? He's doing well. Knight says after T.I. completed his set, she returned to stage to continue her hosting duties, but kept getting interrupted by T.I.'s heckling.
I'm talking about marriage and shit. And he keeps cutting me off, telling me to shut the fuck up, calling me all kinds of bitches, heckling me. So I'm like, all right, come on, stop playing with me. It's crazy. Like, you keep going and I can't say nothing to you. Knight says T.I. then began telling her to take off her wig.
Why was this allowed to happen? Like, why don't people intervene anymore? Like, we're just all allowed to do whatever we want and nobody's going to be like, you have to go?
Yeah. Wait, is this a video below this? We don't have to play it in the... Oh, so this is her recounting of it.
It seems like there's audio, and I can send this to you of it, but I don't know if there's video.
Wait, go down. Okay, here. So Knight said, T.I., take off your wig. And then that was the time that Knight decided to fire back at T.I. by bringing up the sexual abuse allegations. I said, all right, I'll take off my wig when you speak on the allegations. Boy, oh boy. Nobody was tight except for him. Nobody called him. Nobody called him rapist. I responded to him telling me in a room full of people to rip my wig off and made a joke just like he did. So you got a problem with it. Not mine.
Ooh. So then. OK, so at first I thought he was going wild because she brought the allegations, but she brought the allegations because he was already
wild.
He was
harassing her.
Well, why did he even start doing that? That's awful.
Yeah. Also, T.I., we don't heckle other performers. You're the comic. No. You're a comic.
Yeah.
You just watch.
If you want to be a comic, you just be in the back and laugh. You can talk shit to other comics, but don't.
Yeah, but don't fucking heckle them. Shit. Wow. Damn. That's nuts.
That sucks.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Do not like.
Don't like it.
Mm-mm.
Rude.
But what a story.
What a story. I mean, yeah, but I don't want those stories. I don't. You come see my show. You sit down, please.
please sit down and just enjoy it. Unless I ask you a question.
Yeah. But it's funny because I spent a lot of time on like my other podcast, Why Won't You Date Me, talking about shows and stuff and how people interrupt me and da da da. So when I started doing more crowd work, people were like, mm-mm. And I'd be like, oh, come on. I really want to know. And they'd be like, you're not tricking me. I don't want to hear about myself on your podcast.
That's
got to the point where I was like, I genuinely would love a response from anybody, you. And they'd be like, this. And I'd be like, okay, all right.
I had a show recently and a woman and her mom waited outside for a really long time to talk to me, which was really nice. And and the woman, and we were like talking and they were saying nice things about the show. And then the young woman who listens to this podcast was like, well, I understand that you're probably tired and you want to go home and you can't wait to sit down. And I was like, you are so right. Thank you so much for knowing me. You know, I want this interaction to end and I want to go sit down. Thank you so much.
That's funny.
And she's like, I wish you all the chairs in the world. And I was like, this is really sweet.
That is nice. It's funny because people say nice things like that to you. And then people are like, I hope you get fucking railed and deep dick. And then sometimes I'm like, ha, ha, ha. And then sometimes I'm like, that was jarring. I'm literally just crossing a street.
I'm like, okay. I hope you get fucked.
Okay, cool.
Okay. That is, I was actually thinking about that the other day because after my show, I was like, I've joked about this, like my audience will like send me articles and like think pieces about my material. And your audience is like sending you disgusting messages in your DMs. But it literally happened the other day. Someone was like, what you said was right about this thing. And also you should look up these other facts about that topic. And I was like, awesome. Thank you.
That's so nice. I don't know that world. I don't know it. I don't know it. Mateo posted a joke about pharmacists. You've heard his pharmacist joke.
Yes.
Yeah. And he just like wrote in the caption. He's like, it's just a joke. I'm just kidding. Cause I guess people that come from him on TikTok.
I'm sure.
So when he posted on Instagram, he was like, it's just a joke. I'm not trying to offend. And I wrote, excuse me, Mateo Mann, as someone who has seen pharmacists on multiple times and watched them work, I am deeply offended at this quote unquote joke. You've lost a fan. You've lost a follower. I thought you were nice. And the amount of people who thought I was saying it was so funny. There were so people who were like, get out of this comics videos if you don't like jokes.
I mean, clearly you're also a comic and also clearly you're friends.
Yeah, he's my best photo evidence.
That's crazy.
The world is S-I-L-L-Y. Is silly, 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 silly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. Are you here for a minute or are you traveling?
I am traveling. Mm-hmm. I leave Thursday night. Actually, I leave tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night? Mm-hmm. You've been on so many planes this week. It's sick.
It's pretty sick. Yeah. A couple planes in a row this past weekend, like went from Indiana to L.A. and then was in L.A. for a day and then went to San Francisco and then came back to L.A. and I got to go back to Indiana Thursday and then I come back.
Actually,
I don't go back. Yeah, I'm going to Bloomington.
Oh, I see.
And then I go to New Mexico for a show. Mm-hmm. And then I come back. But then I go away again to Seattle. And then I come back. Yeah, this is a lot.
Where's my friend?
She's gone.
She's gone, girl. She's gone. Wait, send me your schedule. That's insane. I'll just ask where you are every day.
I'll send heck is my schedule.
Just so I know where you are. I gotta know. Wow, that's like so much traveling. I'm exhausted thinking about it.
I know. I love the shows. I just don't like the travel. It takes up so much time. It's not just like flying. It's also getting to the airport, getting on the plane. Then you're on the plane. Then you get off the plane. Then you travel to the hotel. You got to check in. Hopefully there's food around. Then you got to get the food. And then you got to take a shower, get changed. Then the show. Show's great. Go back to the hotel and go the fuck to sleep. Then you get up, go get on a plane, and then go home. Maybe go home or go somewhere else. It's a lot.
It is wild. I'm happy to not be doing that.
One day we'll be on that jet life.
Oh my God.
That PJ life.
But here's the thing about a jet. I want the jet to pick me up at my door and take off and land exactly where I need to be. I don't want to drive to an airport.
Put a helipad right on your roof.
Can you do that?
You can.
Can you Google, like, do you have to be zoned for it? Can it be anywhere? Will my neighbors be probably mad? They'll be so mad.
They're just like enjoying the day and they're like,
and I'm like, the winter neighborhood. Got places to go. But also, a helicopter can't take me far, can it?
I guess the helicopter can take you to the private airport.
Oh my God.
And then you can take the jet.
I want to take a little jet to my destination.
Yeah. No, I don't know how to do that.
I don't want to do that either. I wonder how much private jets are. They're probably not. I mean, that's an insane sentence. They're probably not that much money. They're probably a lot of money.
There's a few companies that where you can either rent a private jet or you can do like a jet ride share, or like a, like it's like you and a few other people. If you're all like going to Vegas, like you and five other people can go.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that I could do.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's start doing private jets to Vegas. Yeah, right. I don't know.
I think
seems
we can.
Wild. Seems wild. How much is it? Gimme, gimme.
How much is it for a private jet to Vegas?
From LA to Vegas, please.
I'll look into it. I have a cousin. This is what she does for her living, so I can see.
She's a jet?
She's a jet.
She is a jet.
No, she books private jets out of different airports for people. She works out of up in NorCal, but like she books these for people. So,
oh my God. I wonder what kind of like famous people she's had to book a jet for. Probably like Sandra Bullock. I'm sure she flies private.
Probably. Yeah.
Okay, I've never seen her on an airplane. She probably flies private. Channing Tatum probably flies private.
Although sometimes I'm surprised. I was sitting, we both were sitting behind Rick Ross one time on a plane, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was fully wild. I was like, I can't believe you're here.
Yeah. Who else have I seen on a plane? I feel like I want to say I saw Common on a plane.
Common. I saw Viola Davis on a plane. Dave Navarro, I saw on a plane.
Ooh.
I love Ink Master. I was stir-struck.
Jordan, who have you seen?
I sat behind Chris Tucker on a plane.
Wow. Oh. That's fun.
That is fun. Wait a minute. $12,000 for a round trip? What's $12,000 divided by five? Still a lot of money. Yeah, that's $2,000 for a plane ride.
Well, sometimes plane rides are $2,000.
That's so much money.
Yeah.
I'm always trying to get someone else to pay for my plane rides.
This is true.
Yeah. I'm cheap.
Cheap. I'm a cheap motherfucker.
Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your own body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now, politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that will block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. That's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctor. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future.
So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada. And, you know, people talk and you're just like, oh my God, this is annoying. And then you just hit an unsubscribe on a bunch of things you got subscribed to on your email. And you're like, what is happening? And I know you've dealt with yada yada before. Like when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding in the deep in fine print, or bills that seem to keep going up for no dang reason. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare, but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have elsewhere. And yes, it's possible to outsmart yada yada like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included. You don't take yada yada in life. Don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of our over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
Love starts with you. Show off your personal style every day with new Pandora pieces that set a shining example for the world to see. From big feelings to small messages and everything in between, beautiful hand-finished jewelry from Pandora radiates with your love from every angle. Create a look that's all your own with a unique mix of meaningful charms, or choose from Pandora's sparkling selection of timeless designs, perfect for making an eye-catching statement. With Pandora Jewelry's vast selection of rings, bracelet, earrings, necklaces, and charms, there's endless ways to love it, stack it, and wear it, and share it. Style your everyday favorites with sparkling cuts, vibrant enamels, and playful designs, or truly make it your own with a personal engraving. Pandora Jewelry is the perfect way to share the gift of love with yourself and the ones closest to your heart. Shop now at Pandora.net. Pandora. Be love. Should we do a quiz?
Let's do a little quizzy poo.
Yeah. No. Maybe. Okay. I was trying to think about. Okay. Yeah. Maybe I was trying to think of the game that I was trying to describe during our live show. The mm-hmm. I hate game.
Okay, oh, yeah. What is it?
Maybe I figured it. I forgot to ask my college friends, but maybe it's this. Okay. Say, I hate when people do blank.
I hate when people pick their nose.
Okay. Kimmy and Jordan, can you do the same thing?
I hate when people interrupt.
I hate when people are rude.
Okay. I hate.
Did I do this right?
I hate when people chew loudly. And then you're supposed to go back and say, I think it's maybe I love. And then you say the thing that you hate, and then during sex. So I love when people chew loudly during sex.
I love when people pick their noses during sex.
I love when people interrupt during sex.
I love when people are rude during sex.
Okay, it sometimes works. I think I'm still missing a factor, but then I think I'm getting closer to the game.
We'll check in with you in a few episodes.
Funny.
Please.
This is a very funny game, Sashir. Wait, I'm trying to think, like, what do I hate? What do I hate?
I hate
picking up dog shit, but I have to do it because I have to walk my dog. So I love dog shit during sex. This game is wild to share.
I feel like I'm definitely missing a component because it usually is more like it makes more sense. I feel like mine and Jordan's made sense, but we can do better. Oh boy. Okay.
That's very, very funny. Okay, let's do
what's your most toxic trait? We've like read it every time. Haven't done it.
Thank God, because I was like, can we do your most toxic trait?
Oh, great. Okay. Yes, from Pure Wow. Pure
Wow. Tell me how I'm toxic, mama.
Life is hard, and sometimes we slip into patterns of behavior that aren't that great. In fact, some mental health experts might say these behaviors are toxic, ruining relationships and arresting our own growth and potential. But pinpointing our own shortcomings can help us stop toxic behavior in its tracks. So what's your toxic trait? Answer 7 questions to find out.
You just had the worst day ever. What happened?
Your BFF brought a new friend to game night without asking you first.
There are no bad days. Every day is an opportunity to grow.
You just couldn't get anything done between work and family. There are too many things to juggle.
Where do you begin? It all started when the barista got your order wrong again. Wow, speaking right to me. Your BFF brought a new friend to game night without letting you know that they have other friends. I adjusted it for how I felt.
Yeah, thank you for being honest. Maybe couldn't get anything done. There's just too much to juggle.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a TV character, you'd be...
Olivia Pope.
Hannah Horvath?
Horvath.
I've actually... I'd never heard her last name.
That's really funny. Horvath. From Girls. It's so funny. Hannah Kimmy Schmidt.
Eve Pollastri.
Lucille Bluth.
Kelly Prenny.
Okay. Lucille Bluth.
Yeah.
Who would you be?
Who would I be?
Maybe Olivia Pope?
Oh, a fixer? Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Olivia Pope. A guest wears a white dress to your wedding. You
roll your eyes.
Tell her how amazing she looks and take a photo with her.
Start hatching a plan to get her another dress ASAP.
Poke fun of it in your toast to the guests.
Ooh, I'd probably poke fun of it in the toast to the guests. Be like, this fucking bitch. No, that doesn't sound like a joke now, does it?
Hopefully you would punch it up by the time you get to the toast time. I would probably take a picture with her. That actually happened to me my senior prom. I was wearing this red, sparkly, one-shoulder dress. And this girl, what was her name? It started with a G.
Gina.
Had the exact... No, it was like something more... It was like a pretty girl name.
Gregory.
She was so pretty. Gregory? Yeah, her name was Gregory.
Gabrielle? Gabriella? Gabby?
No. It's not a name I've heard since her.
Giselle. Oh. Jarvis.
It was like Janisa or something.
Ooh.
I can't remember.
Okay.
And of course, not of course, but she looked... fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I looked great too, but she was more developed than I was and like had some body yaddy yaddy. And okay. I was like, well, it doesn't look like that on me.
Oh no.
But we laughed about it and then took a photo together. And then I was like, we both look equally good in this dress.
We both look equally good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
The number one reason you text your friend is to
complain about everything.
Check in and be supportive no matter what.
Gossip.
Make sure they know you're still alive since you're so busy.
I like to check in and gossip.
Yeah.
I guess I'll be
Which one? There's a check in and then there's a gossip.
Yeah. That's why I'm having trouble. But I think, maybe check in and be supportive no matter what.
I guess sometimes I do have to text to let people know I'm alive because I'll forget to tell people what's going on.
Mm-hmm. You also love to just change that phone number and not tell nobody.
Yeah.
Then I become the gatekeeper of who gets to talk to you.
But isn't that fun?
Kind of. Which movie are you watching tonight?
Hustlers.
Swallow?
Oh, I don't know that one.
Me.
A Star is Born.
The Hate U Give.
Crazy Rich Asians.
Bird Lady.
It's Lady Bird.
What did I say?
You said Bird Lady.
Fuck.
I thought you did that on purpose.
Sure didn't. Sometimes my words get switched around. I can't believe I said Bird Lady.
Yeah, with so much confidence.
I'm looking at it and it says Lady Bird. Anywho, okay. Definitely watching A Star is Born. I'm constantly watching A Star is Born. It's a perfect movie.
I also would watch A Star is Born. I've watched it a couple times already and I love it.
I think we've watched it together.
Yep, I'm sure. Words you live by.
When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. Maya Angelou.
This too shall pass.
YOLO and FOMO.
It took me... quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I have it, I am not going to be silent. Madeline Albright.
Maddie. Who are you going to go with?
I think Madeline Albright.
I'm going with Maya because anytime I have not trust my instincts on a person, they end up being fucking trash and they have shown who they are in the beginning and I just chose to ignore it. So I'm going to really keep that in my heart.
Pick a Regina George.
Okay, Regina George with holes cut out of her titties of a tank top.
That was when someone, was it when Katie cut her shirt?
Maybe. And oh, in the plan to like depopulize her or something?
Yeah, but like then it became a trend.
Mm-hmm.
Then Regina George is looking kind of scandalized. I can't tell what the scene is though.
And then this one is the scene where she's like, so you agree? She's like leaning in, whispering.
And then there's the Santa performance where she's like on stage.
What are you going to pick?
I like the purple bra moment because she doesn't get embarrassed and she's just like owning it. Like, whatever. I guess I have holes in my shirt.
Okay. I'm going to pick Santa Baby because I love that scene. It's funny.
It's funny.
This is Nicole.
Oh.
My toxic trait, judgment. You are quick to compare yourself to others, slow to welcome the new girl in the clique, and you're as solid as they come when it comes to wavering on your opinion. Yep, you harbor some toxic judgment, but join the club. It's super common. Psychotherapist Dr. Daryl Appleton says that judgment is deeply rooted in our brains as a form of survival defense. A simple way to stop judgment behavior is to ask yourself, why am I seeing this behavior slash person as wrong or bad? Pausing for a little soul digging can excavate truths about yourself as opposed to whatever slash whomever you're judging. And why should you be so defensive about that?
Okay.
This is the sheer.
Wow. My toxic trait is overextending myself. Your to-do list is never ending. Your weekly yoga class feels like a chore. You feel constant guilt for not living up to expectations. Sound familiar? It does. You have overextended yourself. And while being a professional multitasker seems great on paper, it's abysmal for your mental health and relationships. Aspiring for a perfect work-life balance is a toxic fool's errand. Psychotherapist Dr. Daryl Appleton tells us the wild goose chase leaves us feeling less fulfilled and even more burnout. She says, make boundaries between work and home. But what if I work from home? Set strict deadlines so you complete projects that belong in one space and don't carry them into the other. Damn, today was actually a very busy day. I got up at like 7 a.m. and I started doing laundry and then I got my car detailed. And then I, what else did I do? Oh, my friend wanted to borrow a dress for an event. So I started taking pictures of a bunch of dresses from my closet. And then I started vacuuming. And then I changed more laundry. And then I had to go to the post office to mail some stuff. And then I had to shred some paper. And then I just did a lot of stuff.
Sounds like too much, my friend.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm sorry.
But I wanted to do all that stuff. It's not like I had to. No one asked me to do any of that stuff. Yeah, but I just did it.
You did it for your life.
I did it for my life. Yeah.
You could pay someone to do some of that stuff for your life.
I was thinking that. I was like, I can see why someone would pay someone to do this because then I could do the work that I want to do. I'm not doing the work because I'm fucking cleaning my bathroom like because I'm doing all this other shit. So who knows, maybe I'll do that one day.
Yeah, maybe. Should we help people?
Let's help people.
I believe helping is the future. Let them learn and let them lead the way.
Actually, yesterday, my man went camping over the weekend and then came back and the car was all dirty. Mm-hmm. And I like going to the car washes where you drive your car through and then you vacuum it and like do stuff to it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't like sitting there while someone else is like doing that to the car. The logic, it probably doesn't make sense, but in my mind, I'm like, this saves time mm-hmm. if I just do it myself. But the car was so dirty that even after we cleaned it, I was like, it's still dirty. So that's why I got it detailed this morning. Cause I was like, it's never been detailed, but also mm-hmm. it just needs a deeper clean. But I was like, we should have just gone to the place where they just did all this stuff for us.
Why take it somewhere? I have someone come to my home to detail my car.
Oh, that's what happened this morning. Someone did come to my home. But yesterday we went to a place to drive it through and then vacuum it. And then I was like, we could have gone to a place where they just
mm-hmm.
did all that did stuff all for you.
Yeah. I didn't realize that people could come to your home to wash your car and tell my neighbors. I was like, how is someone always washing their car? And I was like, and it's never my neighbor. Who is it? And then I like locked the thing on the side of the truck. And I was like, oh, they come to wash the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blew my fucking little ass mind.
Yeah. I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah. I did it the other day. And by the other day, I mean like a couple months ago, my car is covered in dog hair. I should do it again. But it was just lovely. They came, they washed it, and I did other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, oh boy. It's great. Okay, here's a letter. Hi, everyone. So I'm a college student and for a while didn't have any close friends here. This year I met two girls and we hit it off right away. We're pretty close, but lately I feel less motivated to hang out with them. It's nothing against them. They're really great. And I'm so lucky to have formed this friendship with them. I just feel like I get in this mood where I really don't want to hang out with anyone.
The thing is, while I would prefer to stay home sometimes, I know I would feel left out afterwards. To give some context to my relationships, I don't really have many friends in general. I have two friends from high school, but we don't really talk except when we are home for breaks, aside from Snapchat streaks, but that's not talking. That is why maintaining this relationship is really important to me, because though I don't have many, I really value close friendships.
Do you think I should push myself more to hang out with them? Or do you think it's okay to not hang out all the times they do? How should I manage feelings of being left out? Trio friend groups are hard. Thank you so much. I think you guys are so cute. Okay. Bye. It is tough. And I get, like, I mean, there's times where I'm like, oh, I should just go out and go do this thing. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to. But then mm-hmm. I go out and then I get home and I'm like, you know what? I'm glad I went out. I had a nice time. Very rarely do I go out and I'm like, yikes, that was worthless. Except for the time I went and saw The Nightmare Before Christmas on Halloween at the America Stadium. I wish I had stayed home and never forced friends to do that with me. It was the worst thing I've ever done. All these little gremlin children running around, these freaky deaky things on the screen. Everyone's like, this is a kid's movie. And I was like, this man bursts into worms. It was wild. It was sick. And I said it was sick out loud and this man turned around. He was like, I know. But yeah, I think you should like just encourage yourself to go out more.
Yeah, because sometimes you might surprise yourself. I would also say don't beat yourself up for not going out, because also you know your limits.
Mm-hmm.
I could see myself turning to a person that would be hard for me to get out of the house. It already is hard for me to get out of the house. So sometimes I had to be like, Sashir, just do it. And then mm-hmm. if you are not having fun, you can leave. I think reminding yourself that you can leave mm-hmm. at any point is good, as long as you go and try. But at any moment, if you're feeling like uncomfortable or tired or anxious, you can get the fuck out of there and go home. That's always an option. But also, I respect when people know their limits. I remember mm-hmm. when I was in college, I'm still friends with this person, one of my friends, she would just like go to bed early, we would be late, hang out late in the dorms. Not even like partying like crazy, just like hanging out. But she'd be like, okay, that's time. I'm done. That's it for me, folks. And I was like, what? That's crazy. Like, why isn't she hanging out? But then later I was like, well, that's her. That was mm-hmm. her limit. She didn't want to hang out anymore, and that's okay. She's still my friend. I still like her. I'm still going to invite her to stuff, but that's just as much as you could take right now. Mm-hmm. And hopefully your friends feel the same way and can think like, yeah, you're still great to hang out with, but sometimes you don't want to hang out, and that's okay. We'll just catch you when you're available.
Yeah, I have friends who I know will go home early. I am the late friend. I know, like, if there's a party going on, I'm not going to be there till very late, and nobody's mad at me about it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I usually go because I'm like, oh, less people will be there, or I have like something to do during the day. But yeah, I think there is something to just being like, yeah, I'll go for an hour or two. And then sometimes you're like, I'm having a great time. I'll stay a little longer. But also you just go, okay, bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Solved.
Solved.
Yum, yum, yum. I'm hungry. Give me another.
Hungry for questions. Oh,
my belly needs to get full of questions. Boy, oh boy. I think my period's coming because I've got a great big zit right here.
That's what that means.
I wish it would go away. I don't want it.
Yeah. Hi, Sashir and Nicole. Love the pod. I was just listening to today's episode about the caller who called in about chairs. And I also have some advice if you wanted to hear it. If you are able to float your couch, like in the middle of the room, so it's not against the wall, you could put chairs behind the couch. Mm. So they're like back to back, which creates different like seating areas. You can also create zones. So if you have like a bookshelf against the wall that's not in a corner, you could put it next to the bookshelf, anchor it with a piece of art or a rug. I love chairs. I have them everywhere. And Shashir's right. If you want to make it work, you can make it work. But those are two ideas that I had. Love the pod. Shout out to my friend Derek, who I haven't talked to in a couple months, but I know he listens to the pod. So anytime I listen to an episode, I think of him. Hi, Derek.
Aw.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice. Great ideas.
Yeah.
I love that.
Very good ideas. I love it.
Now I'm like, should I put some chairs behind my day bed?
Honestly, you could.
I could. I also have, I don't know if I've heard that term before, floating a couch, like putting in the middle of the room as opposed to a wall.
You float
when
your
she
couches.
Said that, I do, but I guess I thought like vertically.
That's what I thought. I was like, this bitch has chairs floating in the sky of her home.
Just suspended from the ceiling.
I'm like, that's so wild.
But now I get it. Yeah, great ideas. Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
We have an email. Hey, friends, I listened to an episode recently where y'all talked about adult summer camps. I wanted to share that my best friend and I have started a body positive adult summer camp called Camp Roundup. It's the opposite of Fat Camp. On Labor Day weekend 2022, we hope to host 38 plus size babes at our retro rustic campground in Newark, Ohio, near Columbus. We'll have yoga, pool parties, dance parties, giant slip and slides, cookouts, bonfires, plus talks about breakout sessions on topics like fat liberation, fashion, fat media, etc. Meals, unlimited snacks, and non-alcoholic drinks are included, and BYOB is encouraged. So if you're interested in partying with some fat babes in the woods, we're the camp for you.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah. If I was in Ohio, I don't even know where Newark, Ohio is. I didn't even know there was a Newark outside of Jersey. Yeah, I'd be into it.
Yeah.
Hi, Nicole. Hi, Tammy. Hi, Sashir. And hello, Jordan. It's me, Christina. So I have a question, a situation, a thing. So I had this friend that was, I'll say pretty much like my BFF of you know, we were that close. We were tighter than a butthole. Yeah, that close. But things happened. You know, she got into a relationship. I ended a relationship and booked it and left the state. But during that time, I attempted to stay in contact with her. And I'm thinking that maybe this was like her first partner because she literally chose dicks over chicks.
And I was sending her messages like, hey, I know I'm in another state and, you know, things are different now. Hope all is well, and nothing. Like, I was pretty much ghosted. But now I'm back home and wherever I live. And I was still reaching out. I was like, hey, hi, hello, it's me. Hello. And then just literally out of nowhere, we ended up meeting at a party and she was there and she's like, oh my God, I didn't know you were here. The devil is a liar, and apparently she a devil now. I don't know what to do. I, you know, did my best to stay in contact with her, and she was truly ignoring me. And now here we are at this party, and she's all, hi, hey, hello, I've missed you. Bitch, did you really? Because I sent you multiple messages, and I'm not feeling that same vibe. But anyways, here's the issue. We have been talking and reconnecting, and while I'm so happy that that's happening, I'm still very aware that she ghosted me for, like, years. And while I want to, you know, continue this friendship because, like, we were great together, I'm not sure if I just need to, like, bring it up and be like, hey, what was with the cold shoulder, or, like, what's good? So that's the question. Like, do I just start fresh from here and pretend like all that ghosting and nonsense, you know, didn't happen, even though it obviously did? Or, you know, do I refresh this friendship by, you know, pulling out the red table and being like, yo, what the fuck? But yeah, so that's kind of the thing. Like, I miss the friendship, but I know I was being ghosted. Anywho, that's all for now. Love you guys. Love me more. Have a great one.
What do you think this year?
I have had friends who get in relationships and fall off the face of the earth. One friend is coming to mind. I think I just, like, let it go when it was happening. I was like, this sucks. I miss her, but, you know, I do have other friends, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
And then she came back in my life. They broke up. And I don't think it was like they broke up and we immediately came back, you know, became friends again. But just like things in our life led us back to each other. And conveniently, we were talking about a different friend who was like hard to reach or hard to hang out with. And so I was like, actually, that was you at one point in time. And not even in a like shady way, just mm-hmm. like, yeah, there was a period of time where it was actually really hard to get in contact with you and I missed you and it was like straining. And she goes, oh my God, I'm sorry. And then she's like, but that does make sense because I did feel like I had to like just be home. Like she would like just be home even if he wasn't home. And they didn't even live together. Like she just felt like she just had to be unavailable, like available for him, mm-hmm. but unavailable for everybody else, mm-hmm. even if that wasn't what he was asking. But that was just what she thought she needed to do to be a good girlfriend. And she knew later that's not the case. But at the time, that's what she was going through. And yeah, so it ended up being a good talk. I don't know if I would have brought it up if it wasn't like seamlessly led into that topic. Mm-hmm. But it was nice to be like, oh, okay, it had nothing to do with me. She was going through her own shit. And it also sounds like it wasn't healthy. Like yeah. It wasn't like a good situation. Like she was just in love and like loving it the whole time. And that's why she couldn't get to her phone. It was like, no, she felt obligated to be home mm-hmm. and not talk to anybody else. And that actually sucks. So yeah, I don't know. I would say, I don't know. Yeah, I am glad that we had the talk, but also I feel like I still would have enjoyed our friendship if we didn't have the talk.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So part of me is like, it's not even necessary to rehash the old stuff if you're enjoying this person's company again.
Yeah, I think it's like if you can move past it and just be fine with it, there's no need to bring it up. But like if you feel some type of way and feel yourself resenting your friend, mm-hmm. I think then it's just like, hey, friend, you went away for a while and I missed you and I don't want that to happen again if we rekindle our friendship. But also friendships yeah. do have they have seasons. A lot of them do. Not ours. Ours is forever. You'll never get rid of me.
You could also phrase it in a way where it's like, were you okay? Like, I didn't hear from you. Because maybe she wasn't. We actually don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't hear from you for like a couple years during this phase. Like, I didn't know what was going on. What was going on in your life? Mm-hmm. Were you okay? And maybe she'll be like, oh, I don't know, I was a little spacey, or, you know, who knows what she'll respond with. But it doesn't have to be like a you did this to me
mm-hmm.
situation. It could be like, I really don't know what was going on with you and I missed you. Were you all right? And maybe she'll be more inclined to open up if there actually was something going on mm-hmm. than feeling like attacked, like, oh, I guess I'm a bad friend because I didn't pick up the phone when you called.
Also, yeah, it's not about you. You're not the reason why she wasn't speaking to you. It was the relationship, and you don't know mm-hmm. the ins and outs of that relationship. So I do think it's like really good and pretty cool to be like, were you okay? I mean, I personally missed you, but like, were you okay during that period? I think that's a nice thing to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Solved. And if you want your problem solved or talked about, you can email nicoleandsashia@gmail.com, or you could call 424-645-7003. Feel free to email us a voice memo as well.
We also have merch at podswag.com/bestfriends.
Lastly, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. That's the easiest way to support this show.
Wow.
Well, I texted your friend about singing lessons. So I gotta double check to see if she answered, because I'm gonna take them and I'm gonna learn how to sing. And it's gonna
girl.
I'm gonna conquer this fear and it's gonna be so good for everybody. Everyone's gonna be like, she did it. Oh yeah.
I'm so proud of you. I think I'm gonna have to take swimming lessons soon.
Why?
Because I told my man if he quit Twitter, I would take swimming lessons.
And he just
deactivated his account a few weeks ago. But I really thought this would never happen. So.
Oh, no, you can't be out here making promises. You can't be cashing checks that the bank doesn't know about. That's not the phrase. And I have no idea what it is.
Was it cashing checks that you're something? Wait, that your mouth can't
cover?
Cat.
Cat. We don't do checks anymore, so this saying's obsolete.
This is very true. Yeah, my brain's like, what are you even talking about?
Don't swipe the debit card if you don't have the funds. Maybe that's what it is. Oh, this is really, I'll take a swimming class with you.
Okay. I don't need to know how to swim,
but if you would like support, I mean, I can support you that way.
That's really sweet. Yeah, hey, I would like support.
I love you.
I love you too.
And I know that sometimes like someone just being somewhere when you're doing something difficult is helpful. So yeah.
Yeah. Yay! Hooray!
Hooray! We did it! We've done another episode of podcast. We podcast today.
We podcast and we podcast well.
Yeah, 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 yeah. All right, everyone. Another podcast will happen next week.
Bye.
Bye.
I want to talk more about just mindset, because you are amazingly vocal about your mindset, your joys and your challenges. It's all there. It's in your book, and it also lives on social media too. How do you like reconcile those two worlds, like the analog and the digital, and continue to keep showing up for yourself? This might sound a little silly, but I really think like there's like a Ziva aesthetic. Like, I love watching you on social. It really is, girl, because it's so bright and vivid and authentic. It's like all of you in your joy and in your pain. And at least when I witness it, it gives me like this boost that I can do the same thing too. I can be just as honest and I can be just as vulnerable, because Ziva did it. And not only did she do it, she still looks so cute. Like, you always look so fly. And like, even when I came into this room, I was like, oh, she got the dream aesthetic behind her. She got her cute outfit on, her hair, like everything just looks so beautiful. And it feels very effortless, but I know it's not. I know that you are so intentional about what you share. Can you talk about that intentionality and how you're able to do it?
Yeah, and pardon me if I cry or get weepy. I am in a very emotional time in my life, but it's a mixture. It's many things. It's not just sadness. It's joy. But I see myself as many things. I am a writer, but I'm also a curator, you know, in a sense. That's what I'm doing on my Instagram page. And I've been thinking a lot about what it means to curate a life, you know, create this life for myself. I'm a Taurus. I'm very sensual. I love beauty. You know, these are the fundamentals of my personality. And I'm realizing that these are my superpowers, that these are the ways in which I make sense of the world, make sense of my life, and find that joy amidst the pain. And so the internet for me has always been about connection. There was a point like 2 years ago when Instagram, I was just like, what is this for? Like, what is this? Like, I just have anxiety, you know, like around that time I had gained some weight and I was feeling uncomfortable about my appearance. And I was just like, what is this place? Like a place for me to go and feel anxious about posting a selfie. Like, this is not the connection that I'm looking for. And so it was through that discomfort and trying to figure out a way to get that same vibe I had as a kid and a teenager that I started doing my energy boards. People will DM me and send me, you know, messages about how much like they look forward to my Sunday energy boards and how like, you know, these images have meant so much to them. And I love to hear that. And I think the gag for me is that same, you know, yeah. Like this is also feeding me as much as it's feeding other people. And that's the thing that I go to the internet for. That's the thing that keeps me going when I'm going through it. I can spiral and then I can be like, you know what, I'm going to make a mood board about this, you know, and it gives a shape. It creates context for what I'm going through. And again, like, I can post these images about what it means to struggle with your mental health and then get hundreds of messages from Black women who are like, wow, girl, same. Thank you so much. I feel seen. That is what I think keeps me online. If that didn't exist, I'd be like deuces because I don't get it.
No, I'm the same way. I mean, the community and the response and the engagement, it fortifies you in such a real way. You speak to that clearly in your introduction. I have your book here is like highlighted, sis, like all the tabs. And there was this one line that like stood out to me. And you say, all this to say, the essays in this book came together as I fell apart. And writing about Black women is the thing that put me together again, that got me through, that helped me become reacquainted with the concept of joy and freedom. And I think that's all what you're speaking to, the Black women, us together collectively, uplift each other, encourage each other, help us see the vision and affirm one another when it all seems bleak and dark and at times hopeless, you know? Mm-hmm. I would love to speak to that experience of just like the collective love that we have for one another and how you've been able to not only create this beautiful book and this career, like you have such a large body of work behind you as a cultural critic, but how your mental health has been able to be boosted, you know? Mm-hmm. And it feels like a simple thing, but it can be life-saving.
Yeah. Yeah, it really can. Because I think For me, more than anything, what it gives me is purpose. Being someone who is in a state of depression, in a state of anxiety, I need purpose to sort of center myself amidst that storm, you know? Like, I know ultimately that when I write, it's something ancestral, it's something bigger than me. And centering my writing specifically on celebrating and spotlighting and just like expanding stories about Black women, I know that that is my purpose here, and that is the thing that makes the writing worth it. Because writing is hard,
girl.
It is hard.
Yes.
If you don't have that thing that makes it worth it, and that thing could be whatever, it can't be though. I see now more than ever, it can't be money, it can't be clout, like that can't be the reason that you write. it's not sustainable. It has to be about something outside of you, something that's not tied at all to your ego. And I think in the moments when I'm like the least attached to my ego, I'm able to see through my pain and my depression and get to the heart of the matter, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it makes complete sense, because I like to think in that same vein too, and think about the work that I'm doing as an act of service. Because when you are being of service, you cannot be tied, if you're truly doing it in a way that's genuine, you cannot be tied to your ego. Mm-hmm. And you can't have these artificial like ideas of what success looks yep. like. It has to be genuine.